Are you ready? Because I'm going to whack you with it this morning. Well, I didn't come to church to get whacked with the Bible. That's why they make Bibles so big, you know. So anybody gets out of order, you can whack them. Glory to God. My statement up on the board here is the fear of the Lord has a voice. You do realize we've been talking about the fear of the Lord. You've been here several weeks. The fear of the Lord. Okay? Does that sound scary? Yes, exactly. Well, at least we're on the right page now. We're talking about the scariness of God. Not Mickey Mouse Church. Boy, the kids would love that. We go to Mickey Mouse Church. No, you're going to Scary Holy Ghost Church. Right? Church of the Living Dead, where it's scary and the Holy Ghost comes on people at any given moment and they just fall out or they run around the room and all of their sins just get washed away. Hallelujah. Or they get healed just sitting in their chair. They don't even know what's happening to them because they start to shake all over. What's wrong with them? I don't know, but something's happening to them. This is Scary Holy Ghost Church, and this is what people stay. That's why they go to their religious churches, because they don't have to be confronted by the power of God. Well, that's what we're bringing in here. That's what we're calling for. That's what we're praying and believing for, is the power of God just to come on people and radically change them. And that's scary. To some people, we just happen to like it. Right? That's normal for us. It's abnormal to just have a religious service with a pipe organ. Nothing wrong with pipe organs, right? I like pipe organs. But it's the Holy Ghost that we're looking for. And the person of the Holy Ghost coming in and shaking you is scary to some people. Should be scary to us. Why? Because we need to be right and live. We need to know who this is. We're talking about the bigness of God, the glory of God, the power of God. This is nothing to be trifled with. It's nothing to fool around with. We're in dangerous waters here, my friends. You've come to a dangerous church. We are learning how to plug in and hold on to the power of the living God. And this is nothing to fool around with. That should be scary. Big high wires in the sky with electricity in them. You better know what you're doing before you grab onto one. I guess. I mean, I would think that. I'm scared of them, right? I'm not going to climb up there. It's scary to get up there, let alone grab onto it. Well, we're climbing up. We're climbing up. And you know, when you believe God for something, what do you get? You get what you're believing for. If you're believing for nothing, well, you got it. Wham! That was fast. Man, your faith works really well. I believe for nothing, I got it. Just like that. Well, we're believing for big things, right, Julia? We're believing for the glory of God to come in and settle and stay. That's what I believe I'm called to do, whether anybody likes it or not. I believe that's what God has told me to do. How to do it? I have no earthly idea. I don't need to know. Somebody please tell me. But I know it keeps me on my knees. It keeps me hungry. It keeps me ready to change. I'm ready to change. Ready to change. Because the glory of God's going to come and stay, and I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. And people are going to be scared. Because I've already been scared. And we're going to stay in that terror of the Lord. I like that much better, the terror of the Lord. It's terrifying. Isn't it? Well, if it's not, I haven't got my point across yet. This is terrifying. Glory be to God. The fear of the Lord has a voice. Now, do you know you can tell people? You can tell where people are by what they say. It doesn't take very long. You sit and you listen to somebody for 5 minutes. You can either tell whether they're saved, whether they're messed up, what's going on in their life. It doesn't take long, doesn't it? It's what comes out of their mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth speaks. They can't keep it in. Unless they're a charlatan, they're really good at conning you for a while. But even at the end, that comes out, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord has a voice. And we're going to show you this from two different sides. We're going to show you from the side of God, how when he speaks, what happens? Fear comes. He was speaking on the Mount Sinai, and he spoke, and the children of Israel said, please go talk to him. We can't take it anymore. We can't take it anymore. the trumpets and the voice and the thunder. Please, stop him. Will that be what it's like with you, with the power of God over you? Please stop. Because people are terrified by the power of God radiating around you in a cloud. We'll talk about thunder. Where's thunder come from? Usually there's a cloud manifest, right? What happens when the cloud manifests in our services? There might be some thunder involved and some lightning in the voice of God speaking. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And what happened? God spoke out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Hear him. What happened? They were afraid. They were sore afraid. They were so afraid, they were sore. What's wrong with you? I just got back from church. I'm sore all over. Sore afraid. No. You mean so afraid? No, sore afraid. That's putting some serious effort into your fear, my friend. Are you a faith church? No, we're a fear church. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. You start hearing the voice of God, I guarantee you, you'll start flying straight real fast. I'll share this story. I've been humming and hawing over this for a long time. At least since the beginning of the week, because I didn't want to say it. All right? This was after I was saved. Okay? So I must have been 18. Thank you. 17 or 18 in that area. I don't know. Dates seem to be or like whatever. We're all 40-something, if you ask me. Right, Lynn?
Yeah,
absolutely. The kids are like, what? I got gypped. Well, so I was in that area. I was learning how to, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? And I was learning to follow God. I was in the Word doing, I think, you know, once again, those years are hazy back there. If you ask me what happened last week, I'd have a better sort of idea of what happened. But back then, okay, and I was doing something that was wrong. Does anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Even though they're saved, even though they're filled with the Holy Ghost, even though they're in the Word, doing something that I knew was wrong. Well, what was it, brother? I'm not telling you. That's what I hemmed and hawed about. You ever say that? Well, Maynard never did anything wrong when he got saved, so what about you? What's wrong with you? That's why I don't hold him up as an example. I was doing something wrong. Clear day. Listen to me. Freak me right out. Clear day, not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day. Summertime, birds chirping. You get the picture? And as I'm standing there about ready to do this thing that was wrong, a big thunderclap happened. Scared me silly. I just dropped whatever I was doing and took off. You know, it's like, oh my goodness. Okay? Now, you can say, well, that could have just been a random thunderclap that, you know, happened from the ozone layer, decreasing into the blah, blah, you know. Oh, come on. All right? Whatever it was, it scared me. Beautiful day out, thunderclap. See you later. The fear of the Lord has a voice. How many times is the Bible? I don't know if I put them up on the screen there. This is another thing that I've been wrestling with. Because you got to put all of your notes up on the screen, and there's time. I never used to do this. I used to just, whatever scripture came up, we just run with it. So for me to sit up late at night and go, okay, how's this going to go? I got to put my scriptures in order because we got to put them up on the screen. It's the same way with the music. This may change. It may be that we just get rid of the stupid screen. We'll all have to know the words, you know? I don't know, but I'm ready to change, right? We're going to learn how to get the glory of God to come in and stay. And if he doesn't like our silly projectors, then we're going to get rid of them.
Yes.
You will see them on eBay. And all my notes, we'll just put them on eBay. Glory be to God forever. So, the fear of the Lord has a voice. Does anybody know what I was talking about before I got off on that? Okay, the fear of the Lord and the thunder. How many times Jesus was there? He prays. The Father answers him, and the people around him thought, well, it thundered. Did you hear that? It's thundering. But there's nothing in the sky. And yet God spoke to him. I'm quite sure. You can do whatever you want with it. It really doesn't matter. I'm quite sure that God rebuked me in that moment. And it came across to me as thunder. Okay? Because I was so dense. These people, God spoke to Jesus in an audible voice. Everybody heard it. It sounded to them like thunder. Right? All right. Let's go. The fear of the Lord has a voice. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Psalms 89, verse 7. Well, brother, I don't know if I want to hear anything like that. Well, I'm not the one who decides this, am I, Maynard? But we're pressing into it. When God gets closer, do you think God was walking pretty close with Jesus? Well, he was God, obviously, but he had the Holy Ghost on him and in him and around him. So everything that he did, God was sticking close to him. These things happen. Well, they don't happen over at the church, the first church. Never heard of thunder clapping on the inside of that building. Why not? Are they walking close? Probably not. Like I said, I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Read my Bible every day. But was I living right? Was I pressing into the things of the Spirit of God? We are, and it becomes a scary thing, all right? The fear of the Lord has a voice. Psalms 89, quickly in review here. I hope you got a little time. Psalm 89, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are around him. Isaiah 33:14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Do you remember this from last week? Sinners in Zion are afraid. What would they be afraid of? They're afraid of the power of God. They're afraid of the manifest presence of God. If they're not, then there's no manifest presence of God there. And fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. What surprises a hypocrite? Seeing the power of God. They believe God doesn't exist. They just kind of give lip service to it. All of a sudden they see God firsthand do something. They're what? Surprised. Right? Drop down there to verse 18. It says, thine heart shall meditate terror. He's talking to you. Well, brother, why should I meditate on terror? Why should I meditate on the fear of the Lord? Because there's life in the fear. There's life in fearing God. I'm going to show you that in just a little bit. We'll have a good gauge on how much we're fearing God. Where do you think that gauge is going to come? Where do you think that's going to be? It's going to be 1 inch below your nose. Do you fear God? Remember the thief on the cross? He feared God. What did he say? Lord. The other one on the cross just kind of ridiculed Jesus and said, if you can get us down from here, if you're the Christ, get us down from here. If you are the Christ. The other one believed and he said, Lord. He said something with his mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. We'll be able to tell, and as our fear gauge goes up, we'll be able to tell by what we say out our mouths. Luke 12. And verse 4, hallelujah. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If we really knew what was going on, that there is a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun, What kind of life would we be living? This is what Jesus is saying. My friends, fear him. Don't even worry about people that are so caught up in the daily day things of the flesh. And then the most they could possibly do is kill you. That's all they could do. But this life is relatively short and eternity is a long time. You need to get right with God and stay right with God. Well, that seems like a message you would preach to sinners. He said, my friends. Right? He's talking to his friends. He's assuming they're following him. So this is the way it needs to be. We need to be aware. And I'm not saying, no, after you get saved, you're in some danger of going to hell. All right? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you need to fear him. And the eternal presentation before you. We should be living our life as we are to live forever and not just till the end of the week when we get our paycheck. And then, you know, I'll do a bunch of stuff and come in on Sunday. We need to live before this holy, living, powerful God who's getting closer and closer, Alan. He's getting closer. And the closer he gets, the more our fear level has to go up. Okay, glory be to God. Verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. We talked about this quite a bit last week. It is your confession of the Lordship of Jesus that activates the angels on your behalf. If you don't confess Jesus is Lord, then the angels stand there and they just look at you wondering why. When you have all this available to you, why aren't you opening your mouth and saying the right thing? What I would like you to see is how much emphasis does Jesus put on your mouth? He said, if you don't confess before men, I won't confess before the angels. Where's the evidence? Where is this emphasis being placed? It's being placed on the words that come out of your mouth. Matthew 17, 5 through 6. Hallelujah. Is anybody learning anything about the fear of the Lord? Do you sense an awareness of the fear of God on you and around you? This is my job, you know, and if this isn't happening in your house, in your daily life, and you aren't starting to walk a little more cleanly because you realize God's on you and around you, then I'm not getting it across, okay? This is what has to happen. I hear many preachers talk about the power you have in the pulpit, you have to match that with a holy living behind the scenes. Otherwise, it'll sneak up and bite you. And how many preachers have we seen that happen to? They're not living the life that they're telling everybody else to live, and it sneaks up and it gets them. They're not walking in the fear of the Lord. It's this fear that will keep you straight. Matthew 17, hallelujah, 5-6. Just talking about, I made mention of this earlier. I'll read the whole story. And after 6 days, Jesus takes James, Peter, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. Was transfigured before them, his face shone as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, this is verse 5, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were in the cloud. We're believing God for the cloud, the manifest presence of God. What happens in clouds? Rain happens in clouds. Jesus comes in clouds. I can go on and on about the cloud that is coming. And it's literally, when I talk about it, I can feel the rain in my hands. The rain is coming. The rain is beginning to fall and happen. It's right here. It doesn't happen unless the cloud is really close, Alan. It's close. We're a lot closer than we think. And out of the cloud comes a voice. And when the voice speaks, fear falls on people. All of these things line up to speak for what? Revival that is a lot more consuming than just you and me sitting here in a room. This is revival. This is God Almighty. He's big, he's powerful, and he's got glory, and he's ready to pour it out. Hallelujah. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. People talk about there's no scriptural reference of people falling out. What Bible are you reading? Right? They fell on their face and were sore afraid. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Believe me, I'm taking you on this trail here. I'm saying these things because they mean something. 18 through 19. We'll start at 17. Glory be to God forever. I believe it's 2 Peter, actually. Yeah. I tell you, I was up late last night writing those things up there. All right. Look at verse 17. For he received from the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about, this is Peter, right? 2 Peter, he's writing it. He's telling people, this is what happened to me on the mountain. Jesus received honor and glory from the Father when the voice came and spoke to him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. What do you think this voice sounded like to other people? It's a cloud? Probably sounded like thunder. We have plenty scriptural references, which I probably don't have time to take you through, that shows you that it's like thunder in a cloud. Right? They said they heard the voice. Now read verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now hold on here a second. They fell on their faces when they heard God speak out of this cloud. They were sore afraid. Peter's telling you, you have a more sure word of prophecy. And you do well that you take heed to it. Should we fear the word of the Lord? He's saying this is more powerful than even that voice on the mountain. A thunderclap. This is some pretty high-level stuff, people. And what is he going to tell us to do? Let's see here. When we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Yeah, you better listen. You better take heed. This is the word of the Lord. It's not some Disney movie. I keep picking on Disney World. I don't know why. It's always so happy and, you know, it's too seeker-friendly. Oh, glory be to God forever. You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Hebrews 12:25. Glory be to God. Almost there, people. In establishing what I need to get across to you today. Now, are we to fear the word of the Lord? When he says something to us, in his holy written word, you open up the Bible and he says something to you, you better listen. As if you were on the mount with Jesus in that glorious cloud. Hebrews 12:25. The fear of the Lord has a voice, and it is the word of the Lord. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. How do you serve God acceptably? Look at the next words. With reverence and godly fear. We are receiving the word of the Lord, and the only acceptable way to receive the word of the Lord is on your face with reverence and godly fear. Otherwise, you're not receiving the word of the Lord. Well, brother, I'm starting to get it, but I think you got to help me here. Well, okay, I'm trying to help you. When the word of the Lord comes, it comes with fear. And you need to step into that fear, otherwise you're not giving reverence and place to the word of the Lord. Does that make sense to you? So many people get the word of the Lord and it's just like, it's the word of a man. Oh, and they have every excuse you can possibly think of, don't they? To describe what these books are, and they were found in several different caves and blah, 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 blah. And they go on with this long list describing why this isn't the word of the Lord. They're not receiving the word of the Lord for them with godly fear. Why is that important? Because that's where the life is. That's where the power is. It's in the fear of the Lord. Matthew 12, 32. And this is where you're going to get smacked, I'm telling you. Whoso speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. Do you remember Jesus talking about whom you should fear? Whom should you fear? We're dealing with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. We have people, we were just discussing it. Rich had a book on revival, and there's people in that book just lambasting all the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, saying that these are things that are of the devil. They're on some dangerous ground. They should just not talk about things they don't know about and admit they don't know about it and just say, I'm not touching it. They're not afraid of it. They're not afraid of the Spirit of the Lord that's upon people when these things happen. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world that are to come. Go down to verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For your words, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is the barometer. What kind of fear of the Lord are you walking in? What is your mouth saying? Is your mouth a carrier of the fear of the Lord and the things that he says? Or is your mouth carrying something else, an idle word? Mouths and words are so vitally important. This is where the fear of the Lord comes out. Let's continue on here. Malachi 3:16. The fear of the Lord has a voice. We showed you what the voice was for the Holy Ghost. It comes like thunder and it creates fear. And the voice of God is in the Word of God. It's contained in the Word of God. It's more profound and more powerful than God shaking you and speaking to you in thunder. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord did what? they spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. He says it again, and that thought on his name. They that feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord heard it. What do you think they were saying? What is it that God hears? He hears faith. He hears people that fear him. He hears it when you speak his words. When the fear of God came on those people, it came on them, it came on Peter, James, and John. How did the fear of God come on them? It came on them when he spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The fear of the Lord came on them. Then Peter says, we have a more sure word of the fear of the Lord. It's written, it's in your hand. It's the word of prophecy written down and contained in scriptures. It's just that, like God spoke to these to you in a cloud. More sure, more solid. And when you grab onto those and you speak these, that is the fear of the Lord in your life. Did I get there? Does that make sense? That's how you fear God. That's what you speak to each other. Do you understand? It is the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if you speak an idle word, you're going to have to give account of it. What's an idle word? In my opinion, it's any word that's contrary to what the word says about you. When we talk about sickness and disease, we're talking about what do you say about you? What are you going to say out your mouth? Are you going to say what God said about you? Or are you going to say what the doctor says about you? Who do you fear more? Do you fear man? Or do you fear what the word says? The word of God. Do you fear the word enough to only say it out your mouth? Listen to me, people. This is where it gets thick. What are you going to say? When it looks like you don't have enough money, are you going to say, I don't have enough money? If you said, I don't have enough money, that's a vain word. It's an idle word, and it is not what God said about you. God said you have abundance.
Yes.
He meets all your need according to his riches and glory. You fear God, you're going to say, God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. How can you say that when it looks like you don't have any money? Because I fear the word of God. And I refuse to say anything out my mouth except what he said about me. Because it's the fear of the Lord. They spoke often one to another. What did they speak to each other? They spoke what God said about them. That's the only thing that's not vain, that's not idle. You starting to see this? And so as we are walking in the fear of the Lord, we will be saying only what God says about us. God said he could increase the Spirit upon Jesus because he always said what the Father told him to say.
Yes.
That and that only.
Yes.
Then God can increase you because that is the fear of the Lord. That's the voice of the fear of the Lord when you speak what God says about you and you and you. And you speak that about your brothers and sisters, only what God said about them. We don't commiserate with people in their what looks like a problem. We speak what God said to them. You may not look healed, but I call you healed because that's what God said about you. You are the healed of the Lord. Well, won't you just say something else? I can't. I am so terrified of the word of the living God, I can't say anything else out my mouth except you are healed.
Yes.
And you are blessed and you are prosperous and God is doing great things in your life and nothing can stand before you because that's what God says. That's the fear of the Lord. You speak only what God says, only, always, all the time. Sorry, I can't talk about that. Unless you're going to say what God said. Because you will stand judgment for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. If that doesn't straighten you up to fly right, we just talked about this Bible speaking just like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's more sure. It's more sure. Him saying that, he didn't say that on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is more sure than that. You will stand judgment for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. An idle word is that which God didn't say. Does that make sense? If God didn't say it about you, and God isn't saying it in his word, then you better shut up. We need to learn. This is how we get to change. You mean I got to change the way I talk? Absolutely. You think the priest went into the Holy of Holies just whistling and saying whatever he wants? Reading comic strips? Talking on the phone? Well, blabbity, blabbity, blah, sister so-and-so. You know? He walked in the fear of the Lord. And when you realize that the spirit of the fear of the Lord is on you and around you, you're not just going to say anything you darn well please. You're going to learn to speak the word of the Lord only. That's fearing God. That's not fearing sickness. I don't care if you're plagued with sickness. What are you going to say? You're going to say what God says about it. I am healed. And that's the only thing I will ever say, even if I die. I will only say that I'm healed because I fear God, not what man can do unto me. That's the fear of the Lord. That's fearing His word. You will only say what He says about you. Only. Every other word is an idle word. And you don't want any of those because you have to stand judgment for them. The judgment's already set for His words. What if you say, I am healed? And you refuse to say anything other than I am healed. Not I have bronchitis and I'm healed. No, only I am healed.
Yes.
Only what God says about that. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses.
Yes.
Only.
Yes.
Speak the word only and you're healed. What if that's the only thing you say? Then what's your judgment, my friend?
That you are healed.
That you are healed. The judgment is already set for His words. Why do you want to go speak a bunch of other words that haven't been set yet? He says, you're going to stand judgment for them. Because God's got to figure out what this mess is you've been talking.
Yes.
Brother, how can you take a message on fear and turn it into word of faith? Because that's all contained together.
Yes.
When you fear the Lord, you're going to say what He says about you.
Yes.
All right, we're getting there. Shoo, man, that took a long time to get up to that one. Brother, Isaiah 58:11. I hope you're still engaged. Isaiah 58:11. Jesus is Lord. This is talking about the real fast. Brother, I hope you're not telling me to fast. Well, yeah, I am telling you to fast. You should fast on a regular basis. Can you say that, Maynard? Can you tell people to fast on a regular basis? Absolutely. Clean your act up. Whoever has to make your dinner, she doesn't have to make them so much. Or he, or whoever it is. How about that, Alan? Your kids come up and say, we're going to fast this week. You don't have to cook us any more meals.
Fast food.
No, not fast food.
Oh.
No,
that's
bad.
Ah, that's
right. This is talking about the fast of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones. You don't believe for that too much, okay? You don't want fat bone. But he's talking about something else. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters what? Fail not. They shall be, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor what? Speaking thine own words. He says the way to consecrate a day, it's not just Sunday, okay, man, I'll try that for a Sunday. No, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord coming and staying. One of the ways we're going to be able to consecrate the day of the Lord, coming and staying, is by not speaking our own words. Well, whose words are we going to speak? We're going to speak His words. Healings will increase among us is when we start to say, I refuse to say anything else except you're healed.
Amen.
And all of us together, we fear the Lord and we refuse to say anything else. But Tondra, you're completely healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And your Lord's renewing your youth. And every day things just get better and brighter and brighter and brighter. Glory to God. That's fearing God. That's the voice of the fear of the Lord. When you say what God says and you refuse to speak what you think. We all have thoughts, right? Might be thinking something about me right now. Like, I wish he'd just shut up already. Or I wish he'd comb his hair or something. I don't know. But you're thinking something, but you choose to speak. You choose your own words, don't you? Does anybody make you say something? Right? You choose your words. So you have the choice to say what God says about you or something else. He puts it right on the nose. He says your own words. You can choose to say my words. We can choose to say words out of some, you know, historical book. But we're going to choose to say what God says. When you do that, you're in alignment with the fear of the Lord. That fear can increase and you can grab on the power line, my friend. It's when you've got barbs and stuff that aren't in alignment that you get zapped. Okay? The fear of the Lord, not speaking your own words. Ephesians 4:29. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. This brings the fear of the Lord right home, doesn't it? My goodness. I was kind of hoping to keep that in church. Well, you can't anymore because it just got right below your nose. And if you're just saying whatever you want to say about you and your wife or anybody else, then you've got problems and you're not fearing the Lord. And you better watch out because the glory of God's going to increase and we're believing for it. What did God do to John the Baptist's father when the angel came in? Came and, yeah, he shut his mouth, didn't he? Because he started saying, well, I don't know how this will bleep. That's it. You will not be able to speak until this comes to pass. And then what was the first thing he said out of his mouth? Thus says the Lord. I think he learned his lesson after a long period of silence. Maybe we need a long period of silence. Maybe we just need to shut up for a while and just not say anything. If we don't know what to say, not sure your mother used to tell you that, right? If you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. That's good, solid wisdom. You should say, if somebody asks you a question, you say, wait a minute, I'll be right back. You go and you look it up and try to figure out what, because you don't know the answer to that particular thing that they asked you, then you come back with the Bible answer. Hallelujah. I have a friend like that. People ask him stuff. He wouldn't do anything without praying about it. They'd ask him, well, can you come over, you know, to my house and pick up that sandbag that I got on my lawn that you wanted? Whatever it was. You know, and he'd say, let me pray about it. And it would just irritate people. He'd be like, it's picking up a sandbag off a lawn. But he was that way. He would not do anything unless he prayed about it. That's where his priority was. Are we willing to only say what God says, even if it irritates people? Fear not man. They can kill the body. But what if they can't throw you into hell? Just say that right at them. You can't throw me into hell. Because that's what the Bible says. Right? And I fear the Lord more than you. I fear the Lord more than the doctor's report. I fear the Lord more than anything that man can say or do. Or my physical surroundings or situation looks like, I'm going to say what God says because I fear Him. Yeah. And nothing else. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even if the king's decree is to throw you into a fire 10 times hotter than regular fire. Super hot fire. Be like, king, too bad. I don't fear you. I fear God. God will deliver us. God will deliver me. God will do it. That's what I'm saying. Glory be to God. All right. Ephesians 4:29. Let some corrupt communication? Oh, no. Let no corrupt communication. Well, that's got to be qualified with something, brother. In the verse before or preceding or after or some other commentary? Please. Let no corrupt. What does corrupt mean? Say you have a nice fresh glass of water. And I accidentally, but when you're not looking, I spill it on the ground and then sweep it up with an old broom and one of those dustpans. And I put it back in there and put it back up on the counter. Would that be corrupt water? You'd be able to tell that nasty water by looking at it, right? Even if the floor was sparkly clean, it would still something wrong with that water, right? That's corrupt. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of you. Do you see where I'm heading with this verse? What would a corrupt communication or corrupt word or corrupt something coming out your mouth be? It'd be something not in alignment with the scriptures. What God says about you. You want to walk in supernatural prosperity? You better not let anything except by that God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't care who's calling you up on the phone. If you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. Right? You want to walk in supernatural health and healing all the days of your life? Then what are you going to say? Oh, my back is aching again. That's corrupt communication, my friend. I'm sorry. Well, I don't like this message. Now you're getting way too close to home. I'm sorry. Do you fear the Lord? At least with your mouth. I didn't say you couldn't groan. I didn't say you couldn't moan. What I'm saying is the words that come out of your mouth need to be, by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
And then sneeze or whatever. And blow your nose and say it again. Why? Because you fear the Lord, which is his word. Only, always, in all things. Hallelujah. Okay, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means it could be in there, right? You're about ready to, you're about ready to say something, but you fear the Lord. And so what do? The last, you catch it right at the last minute and you don't let it come out. Don't let it proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not. You want increase? You want the Holy Spirit on you, all over you, all about you, all day long, in your finances, in your physical body, in everything that you have and say and do? Then what are you going to do? You're not going to grieve him. You're going to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is that? You're going to speak only what God says about you. You're going to speak his word. The Lord will hearken to it. He will hear it. And he will come and he'll increase on you. This is the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:26. We're getting there, people. Isaiah 43. I'm learning, though. Isaiah 43. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Remember I said when you speak the word of the Lord, when you speak what God says about you, you're pleading your case. There's a judgment for you, and the judgment is what God said about you. You're going to plead your case? So many people plead before the Lord, oh, God, help me. Things are getting bad. Things are getting dark. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, the sickness. The doctor said this about me. You're going to go tell God what the doctor said about you? Shame on you. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of his word. When you go before God, tell him, remind him, God, you said I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. You know what the doctor said? I don't care what the doctor said. And right when you said, do you know what the doctor said? Zip. Don't say it. Yes. Don't let it proceed out of your mouth. I know this is hard. Come on, I've been here too. I know there's certain things that are, you want to just say, God. Oh, and you want to just lay all the problem out before him. God, you don't know how it is. I wish you knew how bad it is down here. And my roommate. Oh, my kids. And oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, what does he say about your kids?
Yes.
And what are you going to say about your kids? What are you going to say about them? You're going to say they're all coming in the kingdom of God. They're all saved and healed. And by, you know, in the name of Jesus, I have the right for all of my family to be saved. These are the things that is fearing God. And you can see how it takes a little gumption there, doesn't it? Takes a little effort to choose between your words when you really just want to say, God, help me. What you need to say is, God, this is what you said. I am putting you in remembrance of what you said. You're pleading your case. And you refuse. This is the thing that bugs me. People do this before God. They're not fearing God the way we've described it. They're not fearing God. They get in God's face and they tell them what the doctor says. How is it fearing God? It's fearing the doctor. You're presenting your fear of the doctor to the living God. When he says, don't fear, man, fear me. And it comes out your mouth. All right. I hope I'm not stepping on everybody's toes. Or maybe I do hope I am. I don't know. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Hallelujah. 1 John. I hope this is getting to you. I realize this is not, once again, well, we're talking about the fear of the Lord. None of it's light and fluffy, is it? We're talking about how we can walk in the fear of the Lord. This is where it gets down to brass tacks. What are you going to say when you get out of here? Man, that preacher, I wish he'd just shut up. I had all I could do to not just get up and leave and slam the door when I left. You got a choice. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? And it's always your choice. We have the choice. I wanted to take you to Romans chapter 10 where it talks about, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above? What shall we say? Jesus is Lord. That's what we say to our situations. That is the most appropriate thing to say to any situation that's arising to you. You can declare the lordship of Jesus over it. You can speak the blood of Jesus on it. You should do that all the time before you pick up your telephone. Speak the blood of Jesus on the thing. And whoever's on the other end. You have a choice with the words of your mouth to either agree with God, put him in remembrance, or not. Let's see. 1 John 5. That's correct. Glory be to God forever. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire him. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire him. We started out here talking about Malachi where it says they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. I hope I proved that enough that they had to be speaking the word of God. They had to be saying what God said. When you say what God says about you, you're demonstrating the fear of the Lord above any other circumstance. And it said, the Bible says that he heard them and wrote a book of remembrance. Put me in remembrance. He's writing it down so he doesn't forget, because you're speaking these things one to another, what he's already said. Here we have another verse of scripture that says, if you pray and ask him for what he's already told you is his will, which is his word, he hears it. Do we want God quickly hearing what we say? God quickly showing up to heal the sick? God quickly showing up to raise the dead? God quickly showing up in all these things? Because it's his word, he will hear it. If it's not his word, he doesn't even hear it. So it's just a waste of time. Not only are you demonstrating your fear of man when you tell him the problem, and you're not in the fear of the Lord, but you're wasting your time because he can't even hear it. It sounds like blah, 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 blah. But he will hear his word when you return it to him. Yes, hallelujah. Romans 8:31. I will end with this. Romans 8:31. Glory be to God forever. I think this is a necessary injection shot into the body of Christ. It should be happen frequently. Correction about our words and what we say, whether it's in alignment with what God said. And it's all right to correct each other. Do you know that? Yeah. It's not fun. But if somebody's sitting there saying, oh, well, this and that about their situation, come up, correct them and say, well, that's not what the word says. The word says, by his stripes you're healed. The word says, you have abundance and no lack. And he's your God and he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you say these things and you communicate with each other, the Lord hears it and draws close. That's another thing that happens with hearing. What if you can't hear somebody very well? What do? You get closer. We want God to come closer and closer and closer. Well, we want him to come closer because he's hearing. He wants to hear. And when we speak his words, it draws him closer. Yes. When we just say babbly nothing, which is words of vanity, then he goes away. No drawing power anymore. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Hallelujah. What shall we then say to those things? What are you going to say to the things? You're smirking at me in the back there. What do you say? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good answer right there. Well, all of the testimonies are bad. Well, what are we going to say to the testimonies that are bad? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for me, personalize it. If God is for me, who can be against me? You better get with me. Yes. Well, that sounds arrogant. No, I'm just saying what God said. I can't lose for winning because God's on my side. If we're going to play basketball, you've got, who's the best basketball players now? I don't know. Who's a really good team? Let's say we had 9 Larry Birds. I remember Larry Bird, right? So we had 9 Larry Birds on my team, and I'm, you know, and 3 Michael Jordans. He's good too. Wait, that's too many people on the team. See, I know nothing about this stuff. Bench. Let's, right, at a good bench. Exactly. We can move them in and out whenever we want. And it's just me, and I can't play basketball. I can play a lot of different sports. Basketball, I don't get it. All right? I try to put that ball in the hoop, and it won't go in. I can get up there and try to shove it down in, and it still doesn't go in. Well, maybe I could do that. Anyway, but if God is on my team, I win, my friend. It's a slam dunk every time. And what do you think I'm going to do with the ball every time? Do you think I'm going to use my own words? You think I'm going to use my skills, which don't exist? That's the point. I'm going to give that ball to God every single time. Every single time. How do we do that? With our words. And you win every time. Slam dunk. I don't care from anywhere on the court. It always goes in because he never loses. He's got a winning track record from eternity to eternity. So when you choose your team, and every second that you're about ready to say something out your mouth, who are you choosing? Always put the ball back into God's court, back into God's word, and he'll take those words and he'll make you win. He'll give you a judgment that wins every single time. All right? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Glory be to God forever. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What are you going to say to that? Nay, if God be for us, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's your choice. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Choose the fear of the Lord. When you choose to say what God says about you, God before me, who can be against me? That is the fear of the Lord. Okay? That is the voice of the fear of the Lord, and you're beginning to participate in this fear. When I said the fear comes around you, that's how you step out into it, is by saying only what he says. Do you understand? That's where the fear comes in. When you learn that you're only going to say, and I realize that's a big pill to swallow. From this day forward, I'm going to have you pray this, so get ready. From this day forward, we're going to consecrate our mouths to say only what God says about us. And we'll believe God for each of us, you know, to help us correct each other. Now be kind to each other. Don't just slap people. This says, speak the truth of the word of God in love. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. But he's going to be the number one corrector. He's the teacher and the counselor and the guide, right? And we want this fear, do we not? Do we understand it? It's the fear of the Lord that paves the way for the glory of God to come in and change things. Well, this is the fear. This is our part of the fear of the Lord. We get to walk in this with our mouth. How many things in the Word of God are dependent on the tongue and the mouth? Right? If you don't know what to say about it, speak in tongues. Pray in tongues about it. That's what I love about tongues so much. I don't have to worry too much about me saying the wrong thing. When I'm praying in English, I might say something stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Try not to, but we only have limited amount of knowledge. So when we get beyond where we can say what God said, that we know what God says in his word, then we can pray in the Spirit. Thank God. But we're going to consecrate ourselves to being a church that speaks only what God says. About every single one of us in here, right? This is what God says. And we're not going to have a prayer chain that calls up people and tells them what their problem is. Because we refuse to say the problem, because the problem isn't in alignment with God's word. And I realize we get into sticky situations here. I understand this isn't the easiest thing to do, but as the fear increases, we need to learn to say the right thing as we step into that fear and the glory cloud comes. All right? Okay. Let's do this. Ooh, glory be to God forever.